we're looking east across Georgia Strait. What are those islands that we're looking at up there to the north there a little bit, Ken?
Okay, the island directly to our northwest is Denman. Then there's a channel, and the next island is Hornby.
And you came to Bowser quite some years ago.
I come from one of those ancient families, 1,100 years of mayhem in Europe. And I was never comfy there, didn't want to be part of it. I wanted to have a new life, well, my own life. So in September of 58, I managed to make my way to Vancouver with a map of how to get to the village of Bowser, and I fell in love with this place. I'd never seen a real true forest. I'd never seen giant kelp beds. I'd never seen salmon. But then I left after 2 weeks, promising that I would one day live here.
So after many years, you came back to Bowser, and things had changed a lot.
I found that the great abundance was gone. The river was void of fish. The kelp beds were gone. The eelgrass was almost gone. So we decided to actually grow kelp.
Why are the kelp beds important?
What happens with kelp is that it's a primordial thing. It actually bleeds itself perpetually into the ocean, putting all manner of nutrient in that feed the tiny, tiny organisms on which other and larger creatures depend. And when the small salmon leave the river, they need a place to go and be while they're acclimatizing themselves to get on the long journey. Likewise, when those larger adult salmon are on their way home, they also need a place to hide out.
How do you reestablish kelp forests? I mean, you can't just replant them the way you would trees or whatever. How do you do that?
Well, in large part, as all nature, it's a numbers game. If we could get enough spores in the ocean and let them travel on the currents and find substrates that are suitable,
that they can attach to on the bottom.
Yeah, precisely. And so our first attempts were as rudimentary as you can possibly get. Imagine onion bags. You put a rock in it. You take a piece of spore patch, put it in there, and toss it overboard.
Let it rip.
Yeah, and just keep doing it. You cannot get simpler than that.
How did that work out?
Yeah. We were blown away in that there was kelp. Now, we found out that there was a concrete block maker, cinder blocks, north of us here. And in the making of those, there are a lot of duds. And those duds cannot be used for construction, and they have to be crushed and disposed of. That costs a lot of money. So we cut a deal with him. If we take them away, can we have them? He said, any day you want. So we chose these blocks that had been weathered for 5 years. And we ferried out in front here.
Out what those buoys are right now?
Yeah, exactly. Right out there. And we started building small reefs. And sure enough, the kelp immediately started to grow. We planted some there with divers, and then it did reseed itself.
Now that you've been establishing these new kelp beds that seem to be self-sustaining, are they developing the kinds of colonies of critters that you would expect in a naturally spawning bed?
When divers went down and we took a look, we couldn't believe it. I mean, in a 5 month, up to 8 month period, the kelp beds that are out in front here were fully populated with five varieties of rock cod, ling cod, kelplings, greenlings, octopus. We've got 42 octopus living out here. We know each one now.
Have you given them names yet?
No. They said, look, you know, this human need to give names to things. Can you sort of back off on that one? And we have squid, lots and lots of herringback, and we're trying to convince folks to leave this area alone and let the kelp and the herring and all the other things work together and give it a chance. Let's give this a 10-year window. We can get a really good picture in 10 years of how this affects everything. And we're making progress. We've gone to a number of the fishermen who come here, the fishers. We've sat them down, human, face to face, and explained to them what we're doing, include them in it, and ask for their support. And it's amazing what happens.
So it sounds like that was actually helping to cultivate relationships in the human community here, too.
It has actually made a community, an old-fashioned kind of community. And people who before probably didn't even know each other, some who didn't like each other, have been asked to leave their political guns at the door, and it's created a major sense of well-being. So the greatest beneficiary of this, quite frankly, is the human factor.
Well, Ken, thanks for taking me out and showing me what you got. This is a beautiful place, and you're doing very interesting things.
Well, thanks for being interested, and thanks for coming all this way.